Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and if you're getting ready to head to the airport next week for the Thanksgiving holidays, when you go, you might be faced with a new and even stiffer security screen than ever before. The TSA is rolling out this new full body scan called a backscatter body imaging device. It essentially allows the agency's security officers to see under your clothing. The more modest traveler can choose to opt out of that, but into a full pat-down, though a non-cavity search, a pat-down search by a TSA employee. This is the thing that's been generating most of the controversy. Outrage for all sorts of reasons, ranging from concerns over modesty and personal liberties to worries about misplaced resources in a process that doesn't fundamentally help make people safer from terror anyway, many would argue. James Fallows, national correspondent for The Atlantic Monthly, has been out in front of criticizing this new procedure, getting behind a national opt-out day on November 24th, where everyone calls attention to the policy by forcing the TSA to do pat-down searches across the board. So he joins us now to talk about airport security and what it can and cannot accomplish and this opt-out day on November 24th. Hey, James, welcome back to WNYC.
Brian, nice to talk to you again.
Have you gone through this yet, either the backscatter body imaging device or the pat-down?
No, I haven't. And I thought that yesterday I was going to have to. I was coming back from Australia, where I'd been for 10 days, and going through San Diego Airport, which where they're using the new machines, and this video that's gone all over the internet of somebody who said, "Don't touch my junk," and got into trouble. That happened there. But as I got to the head of the security line, I saw that on one side there were people raising their arms and stepping into this machine to be scanned. On the other side, it was just a normal old metal detector. So I just went to the other side and went on through. So that was my closest recent brush myself.
Why do you think people are so outraged, and how outraged are you by either aspect of this more invasive security?
To me, it is a symptom of something that's been underway for 6 or 8 years now, which may get people's attention to what I think has been a basically misdirected approach to airline security for quite a while. And I should say that I'm not blaming individual TSA employees who I empathize with, and not even the agency itself, which has this single mandate to keep anything unsafe from getting on airlines, but rather our political leaders. It's time, as we do in every other walk of life, to say, okay, there's a balance between perfect security and all the other values we have in life, including liberty and privacy and all the rest. And where are we going to stop the continued, sort of ratchet light effects? If there's somebody who has a shoe bomb, for the rest of time, people will take off their shoes. If there's an underwear bomb, for the rest of time, you'll have to have, this kind of intimate inspection, saying, let's have some common sense balance.
Listeners, what do you think? Are you considering participating in opt-out day, which is November 24th? And that is the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, right?
Yes, and this is being done sort of this is not a movement I initiated myself, and I'm actually thankful I'm not planning to travel that day, because it would be a nightmare anyway. But the idea is to draw political attention to the intrusiveness of the new inspection regimes. Again, not expecting the TSA itself to change something, but to have elected politicians say, wait a minute, let's think about this.
Listeners, 212-433-WNYC with reactions or questions, 212-433-9692, or you can post to our webpage at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And I guess the point of opt-out day, having everybody do this on that big flying day, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, would be to kind of gum up the works, right?
Yes, and that certainly would be the effect. What I was planning to do yesterday, if I hadn't had the option of going through the regular machine, is to be physically patted down in a way that my colleague Jeffrey Goldberg has described very vividly. And it's all parts of your body that might contain something supposed to be felt, although not up into the cavity. So the idea is that is slow, and I think the idea is a sort of peaceful calling attention to the whole cumbersomeness of the system.
Is that the physical pat that you object to, or also the backscatter body imaging device?
I have a partly rational, partly theoretical resistance to the backscatter radiation device. I had a letter on the Atlantic site today, actually, from a software engineer saying, look, this is radiation, and it's all new software running it, and it's probably safe, but it's a very long time before you know it. And why expose yourself to the more of this needlessly, just on the say-so that it is the assurance that, oh, yeah, we'll probably be fine. I guess to crystallize the objection, if you have at San Diego Airport yesterday, half the people getting on, including me, went through the same old machines as always, weren't patted down, and they were assumed to be safe on the planes. Why, if it's safe for some of the people, why is it not safe for all the people? Why is there a need for the new stuff? I mean, if the new machines are really necessary, then everybody would have to have them.
All right. Peter in Long Beach is calling in to support the TSA regulations, I think. Hi, Peter. You're on WNYC.
Hi. How are you?
Good, thanks.
I support most of it. I've definitely seen the YouTube videos of little children and women who have been, you know, in the pat-down and clearly, not wanting it. I wouldn't mind the pat-down, truthfully. That's just me. I don't think that I'd like to go through the body scanning machine. I have heard, just doing my own research, that the imaging has been recorded. And even though, you know, that people that work with the TSA saying, no, we're not recording these images, and maybe the guests can comment on that. But, I'm not so against it myself. I can see why it would be offensive for maybe a woman to be patted down, or even some men, obviously. I think that if we can do something to protect the safety of flight, whether mm-hmm. it be throughout the whole year or through the holiday season, we should. I mean, is this the perfect way to do it? Probably not. But, you know, for now, I'm okay with it.
You're better safe than sorry.
Yeah.
You're in that camp. And, James, Peter, thank you. And, James, why not, considering some of the ways that people have smuggled things onto airplanes?
Right. And let me first give an answer by analogy and an answer by direction. We have something like 30,000 people killed on the roads every year. Somebody wrote to our site again pointing out you could eliminate virtually all of those by limiting all cars to 10 miles an hour. You would save 30,000 lives a year by doing that. We don't aim for perfect security any other places. We have some trade-off. And if you look at the real assessments of the threats to airlines, it's much, much, much more dangerous to have potential bombs in the cargo hold than it is on passengers. A passenger can only have only so big a bomb on him or her. Something in the cargo hold, that can destroy an airplane. So the first place to really emphasize these things would be the cargo hold. If you're going to have the underwear bomber, the next place for people to put stuff would be in their bodily cavities, as drug smugglers do all the time, or prison people. That would not be affected by all these new inspections. The question is, something with this great an economic cost and this much sort of an intrusion and assertion that people are, by definition, when they buy their tickets, they're subject to every kind of search. Is that proportional to the safety these measures add? The people who have been caught in the recent years have been by normal police work and tips, not by any of these devices.
Here is frequent flyer Chris in Central Jersey. Chris, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, how are you doing?
Okay.
I just got off a plane. I stopped to call in order to, while I'm driving home. And, it's easy to say. I just went through a very long security line in New Orleans. It was very frustrating. But at the same time, how many planes are you willing to lose without the security? And I agree that the security is not perfect, but it's an impossible question to say we won't do the security, and it's okay. We'll have an allowable loss. We've been very lucky. Would Mr. Fallows say the same story if that plane had exploded over Detroit last Christmas?
So here's various ways to approach this. No other country around the world has the same measure of security that we do. I've lived in China for most of the past three of the past 4 years. They don't, China is a place where they lock up dissidents and all the rest, but the airport security is much sort of, it avoids, it's based more on intelligence and less on the physical inspection of every single person going through. In most of the shoe removal rules is unique to the United States. So if the metric is avoiding any air incident whatsoever, any explosion, the only solution to that is really to just eliminate air travel. That really, if that is the only guide. If the guide is to have some reasonable balance, and, you know, there was a time before 9/11, over the previous 25 years, there were episodes of, say, four or five times, including the disastrous Lockerbie explosion, where there were actual air incidents. But we didn't say that the entire air industry had to be transformed because of the horrible Lockerbie crash. There were new intelligence efforts and other things. There were more sensible ways of trying to deal with the security situation than thinking that inspection of every single person getting on the plane.
Chris, you want to say anything else?
Yeah, but you could argue that they didn't work. I mean, we've had several attempts since then. So,
right, and
so
none,
I agree.
None of them has been frustrated by the TSA-type measures.
Well,
you know, there are all other things that caught these people.
Yes, yeah, that's true, but we won't know how many were prevented because they didn't try certain avenues as well. In other words, we didn't have the ability to detect explosives until the body scanner. So how many other attempts were prevented just because they knew we were doing more thorough metal detection, for example?
I'm not against metal detection. It's this sort of next step of the well, here would be the question: is there anything the TSA could propose that you would object to?
Chris?
Quite frankly, I get very frustrated with it. So on the one side of me, I would love to do away with all of it, and part of me would be very willing to say, "Oh, okay, it's a calculated risk, etc." But from a public point of view, it would be pretty intolerable if we kind of lost a plane and nothing was done about it. Could you imagine the political backlash to say, gee, they had this technology.
So there's nothing in particular that you could think of off the top of your head that they could do as a security measure that you would object to?
Well, at this point, considering the volume of traffic that we have in this country, and we're reaching a limit, quite frankly. As it is, these scanners take much longer to go through than a typical metal detector.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to reach a certain limit, and I fully expect at some point in time somebody will succeed in destroying a plane. And so then we'll have another reckoning to go through.
Right.
But we have kind of met a practical limit of what's possible.
Chris, thank you for your call. And James, we're running out of time, but most of our callers, and you know, it is of course a thoroughly unscientific sample, agree with you. I took two who were on the other side, since you were making the case that you're making, and I think you had some good conversations.
I'm glad you did that for a balanced discussion.
So just tell me, I've read that when you participate on November 24th, this opt-out day, you're going to be wearing a kilt.
That was the plan of my colleague, Jeff Goldberg, putting out that I, as a Scotsman, would be a good person to go for an enhanced body search wearing a kilt. We're still working this out.
James Fallows in kilt negotiations with his Atlantic Magazine colleague. You can see both their writing on opt-out day and this whole question of airport security on the Atlantic Magazine website. James Fallows, as always, thanks for coming on with us.
My pleasure. Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And coming up finally today, cooking as a sport. We continue our November food series with Melanie Rahak, author of Eating for Beginners. She sometimes sees cooking as a kind of competition. We'll take your extreme cooking stories coming up next.